Over the next 3 years, I traveled with the chairman twice more to the United States. While he attended to business during the day, my maid and I took in the museums and restaurants, and even a ballet, which I found breathtaking. Strangely, one of the few Japanese restaurants we were able to find in New York was now under the management of a chef I'd known well in Gion before the war. During lunch one afternoon, I found myself in his private room in the back, entertaining a number of men I hadn't seen in years, the vice president of Nippon Telephone and Telegraph, the new Japanese consul general, who had formerly been mayor of Kobe, a professor of political science from Kyoto University. It was almost like being back in Gion once again. In the summer of 1956, the chairman, who had two daughters by his wife but no son, arranged for his eldest daughter to marry a man named Nishioka Minoru. The chairman's intention was that Mr. Nishioka take the family name of Iwamura and become his heir. But at the last moment, Mr. Nishioka had a change of heart and informed the chairman that he had not intended to go through with the wedding. He was a very temperamental young man, but in the chairman's estimation quite brilliant. For a week or more, the chairman was upset and snapped at his servants and me without the least provocation. I'd never seen him so disturbed by anything. No one ever told me why Nishioka Minoru changed his mind, but no one had to. During the previous summer, the founder of one of Japan's largest insurance companies had dismissed his son as president and turned his company over instead to a much younger man, his illegitimate son by a Tokyo geisha. It caused quite a scandal at the time. Things of this sort had happened before in Japan, but usually on a much smaller scale, in family-owned kimono stores or sweet shops, businesses of that sort. The insurance company director described his firstborn in the newspapers as an earnest young man whose talents unfortunately can't be compared with blank, and here he named his illegitimate son, without ever giving any hint of their relationship. But it made no difference whether he gave a hint of it or not. Everyone knew the truth soon enough. Now, if you were to imagine that Nishioka Minoru, after already having agreed to become the chairman's heir, had discovered some new bit of information, such as that the chairman had recently fathered an illegitimate son, well, I'm sure that in this case, his reluctance to go through with the marriage would probably seem quite understandable. It was widely known that the chairman lamented having no son and was deeply attached to his two daughters. Was there any reason to think he wouldn't become equally attached to an illegitimate son? Enough, perhaps, to change his mind before death and turn over to him the company he'd built? As to the question of whether or not I really had given birth to a son of the chairman's, if I had, I'd certainly be reluctant to talk too much about him, for fear that his identity might become publicly known. It would be in no one's best interest for such a thing to happen. The best course, I feel, is for me to say nothing at all. I'm sure you will understand.